Hello, welcome to On The Mic. I'm Mike, and today on the show, we have an absolute TV legend. You might remember her from Big Brother many years ago when she was voted out of the house. By accident, they made a little mistake, and then they had to put her back in, just missed out on $1 million. And then we thought, she's such a cool chick, we should give her her own show. And she was the hottest thing on television for years as one of the co-hosts of Friday Night Live, winning all sorts of awards, Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards for best shows. She's a cancer survivor and so many other bad things, like working with me. But I'm very excited because she is working with me once again after many years at the Radiothon happening this Friday for the Children's Hospital at Westmead, helping the kids. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Bree Amer.
Ah, thank you, Mikey G. I'm also a Mike Goldman survivor.
Oh, you are?
And that's more scary.
I've made you cry a few times over the years, but you can't cry because you don't have tear ducts.
I don't. And you know, neither does my son.
The poor little
Hunter.
Isn't
that weird? Yeah, he had to have surgery on one last week because his tear ducts don't work.
So is that a surgery thing? Because you've dealt with that for years, not having tear ducts.
I know. And then I had to, he had to have surgery because he's got dodgy tear ducts. Anyway.
What, are you going to do it too? You could have done double surgery.
I could actually have surgery and then be able to cry. But then why would I do that? Because my mascara would run and I'm okay with it.
You're used to just getting a runny nose instead.
Yeah, I do. I cry out my nose.
Is that what? You get a bit of a snail trail going on.
It's really attractive.
How is Hunter? Met him the other day.
He's really good.
He's the cutest kid ever.
But you have to say that. I've lost all perspective.
I mean, I know. I saw him throw a tantrum, cry, and have to get taken to the bedroom and put to sleep. Lightly medicated, or I don't know how your parents do it.
But was he still cute while doing that? That's the question.
He was. He's adorable.
I've lost all perspective. So he could be a hideous monster, and I would have no clue because I love him so much.
Do you get embarrassed, like in shopping malls, when he throws tantrums, or you just don't care? You pass that.
Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. And actually, my husband deals with it much better than what I do. I get really embarrassed and like look around and feel like the worst mother in the world. And he'll just like sit on the floor next to him and talk to him and be like, what are you doing down
there? So we're working together this Friday at the Radiothon, which is for the Children's Hospital at Westmead. This is their biggest fundraiser of the year. They've been doing
really exciting
for quite some time now. And it is really exciting. And last year they raised $2 million and they're going for $4 million this year because they have the world's biggest double act.
Us.
That's what I thought.
No, it's because every dollar that is being raised is being matched, which is amazing.
That's pretty cool. I'm like, who
it's
does
really
that?
Cool.
The government?
Who is doing that?
Who is this person?
Some legend.
No, but there are some absolutely amazing people who incredible philanthropists who are donating dollar for dollar. And a lot of big businesses as well. So when we are hosting the show this Friday from like 9:30 in the morning to 5:30 in the afternoon, it's going to be the longest broadcast ever.
Yes.
How are we
going to
do
that? That is a really long... Thank God we can both talk. Yeah. And all the money raised goes towards things like, the latest cutting edge equipment, research, funding research, obviously making, the families and the kids comfortable there. Yeah. It's really important.
And I think most of their funding
comes from donations and the community and corporate donations and things like that. So
a hell of a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there the other day and I met some of the nurses and there's some incredible stories. One girl in particular, she had leukemia and was at the Children's Hospital at Westmead when she was like 13. And she woke up from like a two weeks of being in a coma and she couldn't speak, she couldn't walk. And over the next 6 months of rehabilitation, she decided that she wanted to come back and work as a nurse, and she's there now.
She had
stories about this this one guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was amazing. He's the porter, and it's his job not to bring your bags in. It's his job to, the doctors will say, can you please take Susie into Ward 7
because she's
got to have an MRI. And he loves his job because he could talk to these kids and talk to these patients and say, hey, how you going today? And like cheer them up and sort of take their mind off what's going on. And there's such a camaraderie between the doctors, the nurses and just the hospital staff there. It's such a good energy. And I think that helps with healing as well. And I mean, I've got history at that hospital as well because my little 8-year-old sister, Alexandria, she was at another hospital in Sydney that I won't mention. And they said it's best to let her go because
she was born
at 26 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm. And so... Nets, who transport you know, premature babies to different hospitals because some hospitals don't have the facilities to be able to save them, took her to the Children's Hospital at Westmead. And they put her on life support, and she was there for months and months and months until, I mean, it's probably about 5 months, I think it was. And she was okay. And when I walked in there the other day, it just all the memories started flooding back, and like, I got goosebumps now talking about it. I couldn't believe it that day and that night and that hospital actually gave me a little sister.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And now, and it was so much...
Very lucky.
There was so much more weight to it now because like, is this 8-year-old girl who
you know
like, I'm
well.
Best friends with and I know it's like it's a real person.
Yeah.
And it becomes so much more real.
Yeah.
You like being a mum?
I love it. It's the best job ever. And best production I've ever worked on.
How's Evan handling it?
He loves it too.
Yeah, cool.
Oh my God, he's like just the most born to be a father. Like, he's just amazing.
So he's one of the best TV producers in the country, and you are fast becoming one of them as well.
Oh God, I'm much further down the food chain than he is.
But you know, working on a reality TV show, I mean, you're a contestant and then you're a consummate professional as a host, worked on not just Friday Night Live, Friday Night Games, Download, all these incredible shows, these ratings winners for Channel 10. And then you got behind the scenes and you worked in casting. Mm-hmm. So no one said, oh, well, you're a host. We're just going to give you a producer's job. You actually had to claw your way to the top.
Oh, yeah. Like I started like as low down in the bottom as you possibly could. I just was always interested in the producing side of things. And then a good friend of mine who was an executive producer, I basically begged him and was like, can you give me a shot? And he gave me a job doing what we call street casting on the show World's Strictest Parents. And I was literally walking around train stations at 2 a.m. talking to like runaway teenagers, trying to find kids like that basically weren't going home because they had issues at home.
And so what was the idea for that? So that you could put them back with their parents and you could film it and make great
TV?
Yeah,
have you never seen World's Strictest Parents? Oh, and so then I would like put the... Because I wasn't a casting producer then. I was just like going out and finding kids. And so then I would put them in touch with the casting producers in Sydney and, right. You know, basically, yeah. And so I obviously proved myself a bit doing that. And then they gave me a job casting MKR.
And then I remember you getting really excited a couple of years ago when you got your next big producing job, where you actually had your own segment. It was your segment on the show.
I think
because you ended up producing on MKR as well.
Yeah, I did. So I did 5 series of MKR.
Yeah, so it was like your. I remember it was your first actual segment. Like the whole segment was all you.
I don't know what show that was.
I think it was MKR.
No, definitely not.
Wasn't it?
No. No, that's very much a collaborative. Like, there's a lot of producers that work on that show. But I've worked on a lot of smaller shows where you probably have a bit more control
of a whole segment. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And so what's MKR is like, if you're from overseas and you haven't seen it, I think it's actually getting about to be picked up in the US. I heard
more than I do.
Might be doing it over there. But and in another couple of countries, but MKR is it's like MasterChef, except MasterChef started in Australia, and then Channel 7 went, okay, we need a show to beat this MasterChef show, and this guy called Ricky Proust came up with the idea with a few other producers, and next thing you know, MKR's beating MasterChef, and it's still smashing it in the ratings.
It's a good show.
Yeah, but the way MKR works is like they go into people's houses, these two chefs. And critique everyone. And everyone gets ripped into each other on that show, don't they?
It can get vicious.
Yeah.
Do you egg them on a little bit? Like all reality TV these days, though. Don't you think all reality TV these days is vicious? Like if I was on reality TV now as opposed to 14 years ago.
14 years ago.
How old am I? I would not survive. I think I'd be ripped to shreds.
I think because, yeah, Big Brother was the trailblazer that started everything. And, you know, the first series, we just left them alone and they didn't do anything. And then as the years have progressed, you got producers like, and you're like, that show Unreal. Have you seen Unreal?
Yeah.
It's like a behind the scenes kind of, that's what it's getting like now. They're like, you're like fully manipulating the contestants on the show to do the most horrific things to each other.
That is just not true.
Like on The Bachelor.
Unreal is not an accurate
On The Bachelor,
portrayal.
They actually make the girls kiss the honey badger. Like they psych them up to kiss him.
What? I worked on The Bachelor. I was a producer
well,
on The Bachelor.
Must. Like, why else would you kiss the guy?
We never made any of the girls kiss any of the guys.
Did you watch the current series of The Bachelor? Did you work on that one?
No, I did not work on that one. But I did watch it last night. Anticipointment. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. What happened?
He picked no one.
He didn't pick anyone.
He sent them both home and like went home by himself.
What the hell?
Seriously.
Maybe he should try gay.
He should.
Well, you know the honey badger. I was actually I googled the honey badger because I wanted to see who this guy was, and the actual honey badger came up, and I was more interested in that. It was on the National Geographic website. And you know the honey badger actually digs its own hole and lives in it by itself.
Well, that's what he did last night, yeah. Didn't he? So he dug his own hole.
Exactly what he did. What's been your favourite show to work on? MasterChef, The Bachelor.
I didn't work on MasterChef. Parents. No,
sorry,
no.
My Kitchen Rules.
Oh, good question.
What's the hardest? Is it as hard as it looks working behind the scenes? Because I remember, you know, as a host,
yeah, it is hard.
A lot of the time on these big productions, you know, you swan in and swan out, and you see all these people who have got their eyeballs hanging out of their head, and they've been there for the last, you know,
28 hours, 3 days,
or whatever.
Yeah, look, 18-hour days are really not shocking. look, I MKR is probably the most fun show that I've ever worked on. I've worked on some smaller shows that I really liked too. I liked Bringing Sexy back. Zumbo's Just Desserts I really liked. Bachelor I liked. Lots of fun stuff. And you like them all for different reasons. You know, then there's some fun ones that I've cast as well.
So you never really egg them on behind the scenes and make them do things that they don't want to do, like in the show Unreal?
No. Oh, my God, they're evil. For starters, we don't kill anyone.
Because, I mean, on Big Brother in the US, for example, we've got a friend, mutual friend, Aaron Catling, who worked on that.
Mm.
He's now the executive producer of Robot Wars, I think it is. And he said it's completely different over there in the US, where they actually speak to the housemates off camera and say, hey, it's Chris here, I'm the producer. You know, this person's been saying this about you and that person's been saying that. Maybe you should go and say this. And can you say this to camera now? Like, we never did that here.
That doesn't happen here.
I think if it comes back here in Australia, I reckon that's probably the direction it would take.
I don't think people would like that.
Something different.
I don't know.
I'm not sure about...
Highly manipulated.
Actually, you know, the reason why I say that is because I was in at Shine the other day talking to... a couple of people there, and they said, you know, that's the kind of thing, the direction they would want to go. And something else that they were really excited about was the technology on Big Brother Italy, where I was talking to you about this the other day, where they have these hothead cameras, which are basically the cameras they use as a remote control, be sitting in a room, but they don't need people to control them anymore. They actually control themselves and just follow the face, like the CIA, you know, secret agent cameras that you see in some of those
facial
shows,
recognition,
like Homeland or whatever. They follow the faces, and then everything that person says is just instantly typed into a database, not by someone, but just by the computer. And you can search for any of that information. Like, you can go, Brian talks to Susie about fishing, and then all of a sudden, all the 4K footage of Brian talking to Susie about fishing is all there for them to edit to the show. So
that's amazing.
Changing. And a lot of jobs.
Are you spilling insider secrets?
I don't
How
care.
Unusual.
Well, they wouldn't have told me if they didn't want people to know.
They do know you.
Yeah, they know me. Maybe that's why I'm making my own show.
And not working for Shine.
Not really working on TV anymore. Let's change the subject right now.
Am I allowed to drink this while we're doing it?
You can drink whatever you want. But you know you're not allowed to actually drink on a live TV set in Australia. It's actually in the Broadcasting Act.
Lucky it's not a TV set.
Well, we can do it here in a spare bedroom. Well, we can do it here. But I remember when we were working on Big Brother, we might have had a few wines, and they say, oh, you can't have that in the studio, you know.
That's right. They used to make us hide it. I mean, no, we didn't drink.
Hide it behind the couch. Something incredible happened on Friday Night Live, which blew us all away.
We're rehashing all this, are we?
Why the bloody hell not? I mean, because this
we're going that far back.
That is the most incredible story ever. It saved.
Yeah, it
pretty much saved your life.
Yeah.
Because if you left it, you didn't know.
No. So, I mean, for anyone who didn't know.
Yeah.
I was contacted. So we used to sit on the panel on Friday Night Live, the three of us. I was on the left-hand side. You guys kind of sat there. So I was always turning my head and talking to you guys. And I had a doctor contact me and say that he thought I had something wrong with my thyroid because he could see a lump in my neck and that I needed to go to a doctor. And he spent like $450 calling up late, remember? Because he thought that you would answer the phone.
Because we had that stupid scam
yeah.
where you ring up
so
to win
money.
The
poor guy had tried to get in contact with me that way And I think he tried to get in contact with me through Channel 10 and they never passed on the message. Thanks. But eventually someone I know, Kat, who I was on Big Brother with, went into his surgery and he was like, do you still see Brie?
Really? Wow.
And she was like, yeah. And he said, tell her to go to a doctor. I think she's got something wrong with her thyroid. And I went to the doctor and then it ended up being thyroid cancer. And so it was something that I never noticed myself because you could only see it when I turned my head.
Nothing much, just a little thyroid cancer.
Yeah, but it used to stick out of my neck when I turned my head. So imagine if I wasn't sitting on that end of the panel.
If you're a bitsy side, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But you say you would never have known. And like you had to go in like a radiation chamber and you had to go through a fair amount of work to get rid of that, didn't you?
Yeah, I had two surgeries. Look, it could have been a lot worse. I had two surgeries and then what they call radioactive iodine treatment. So... which is when you get kind of given this radioactive tablet and you swallow it and then you're radioactive and they lock you away for 5 days and they measure your radiation levels before you're allowed to come out and you're not allowed to sit next to people on couches or anything.
And you know what? They do it different now as well.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, like my dad's had cancer for a while now and he's actually having some radiation at the moment because he has some cancer around his lung near the throat. And they actually tattoo right in the middle of your chest so that they can target the radiation rather than going and just hammering your whole body.
Yeah, no, radioactive iodine treatment, thyroid cancer is the only cancer they treat like that.
Right, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the only one. So then I think it's kind of cancer specific as to how they treat it.
Mm.
But I'm fine. That's been like 12 years or something, I think.
Mm. You're in the clear.
I'm really lucky. Yeah. Really lucky, thanks to some very observant doctor.
Thanks to that doc. Yeah. And so let's go way back. I mean, we're talking about Friday Night Live here. We had some crazy times working on that show. I mean, it was the so highest fun. Rating show on Australian television. It was on a Friday night, which is normally a dead zone for all TV where no one watched. But it was like all of Australia would stop just to watch our show. And we're getting millions of people watching because no one ever knew what was going to happen. Like we had... where people vomit at one stage because we'd have a food challenge. We had segways. We had segways, those things that people, stand up with two wheels and ride on it. And like a girl went straight into a glass window live on the show.
Oh, that's right. Do you remember the night that the three of us had to eat a spoonful of wasabi? And you guys both had avocado and you gave me the wasabi. And I was like vomiting in the commercial breaks. So I had like a tablespoon full of wasabi. And you guys were like, oh, it's so hot, isn't it? With your avocado.
You can Google all these on YouTube.
You guys were horrible to me.
Yeah, we were. Absolutely.
Really horrible.
That's why I brought you here. Because I just wanted to say sucked again. In. Because I missed being horrible to you. No, it was all a good fun. Like brothers and sisters having a lot of laughs. Like the other one, I had to eat was it pig's testicle?
Oh, yeah. You loved it.
I did. I actually have it at least twice a week now. And witchetty grubs. Fitzy and I had to eat a witchetty grub. And when you eat a witchetty grub, apparently you have to rip out the poo sack on the bottom.
And you didn't do that.
And like Fitzy's was clean and mine still had the shit
That's
sack
really
in it.
Funny. That's funny.
It was a crazy show. And then we got to do two series of Download.
Yeah, that's right.
I think
right.
It was. And
Friday Night Games.
And Friday Night Games.
The celebrity version.
Version. Which, what celebrities did we have on that show?
Warwick Kappa is like the only one I remember.
I think we had the V8 supercar driver as well.
Craig Lowndes. Yeah, and that blonde curly haired model. What's
Annalise Brackenzack?
Yeah.
Yeah, she lives just around the corner. She's a legend.
Yeah, a few people.
But we won a
Country
Nickelodeon.
Music singer.
Kids' Choice Award for Best TV Show, sorry?
The country music singer.
Oh, Adam Brand?
Yes. You've got a memory for names, but I've got a memory for...
See, that's why we work so well together.
Yeah. Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award. I won my own, remember?
Oh, yeah, you did. Yes.
Don't mean to brag.
Yeah, you did.
But we won one for the show.
Have you still got it? Where is it?
Yeah, I've still got it. Have you still got the other one?
Well, we won it for the show, and I think it was about 6 months after the show finished. Alex Mavridakis, who was the executive producer... he ended up getting all these other shows, and so I sent it to him.
You gave it to him?
Yeah, so he's got it out.
That's like the most special thing I own.
Yeah, but like he was the executive producer of the show, so I felt like he kind of deserved it as well.
True.
But actually, I passed it on to him thinking, okay, well, he can have it for a while, and then he'd maybe give it to you and maybe give it to Fitzy.
Yeah, right. No, they're the best things ever because it's like a blimp.
Yeah.
It's a kaleidoscope.
I actually tried to buy one for you Ryan and everyone. I thought, oh, they're only going to be like a couple hundred bucks. They're like $1,500 if you want to buy one.
Each. Wow.
Ridiculous.
That's expensive, isn't it?
Hey, Fitzy's going well. Saw him the other day.
I know.
Ryan Fitzgerald. He's the...
I ran into him the other day, too.
The third part of our threesome. That's probably not a good way to put it. But he's at Nova doing the breakfast show still and smashing him in the ratings.
And he's so funny. I listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that they're great. And I'm so happy for him. I just think he's done so well and he deserves it. He's a good guy. He's hilarious.
Mm.
He's got a great little family. He's doing well.
I don't know about the Whipper guy. I don't know why Whipper's on the show with him. Like, he's a bit of a bore, isn't he?
Do you not like him?
Joking, Whipper. Oh my God. You know I love you.
Scandal.
Nah, he's all right. Nah, they're good. I wouldn't be allowed in Nova to do the odd random voiceover if I'd be slagging them off. But nah, they're good. Listen to Fitzy and Whipper. Emrishiano just left the breakfast show.
She's having a baby.
Yeah.
No, but Amanda Keller and
Jonesy still doing.
They're winning the ratings. They're doing really well.
Yeah. Well, so you've got your little baby at home, Hunter.
Who's
going great. So when are you going to go back into TV land? Obviously you're hosting the radiothon with me.
Yeah.
But do you think that you'd get out there and do anything else? Maybe get your own show. I mean, everyone's doing their own show on the internet now.
No, look, probably not. I'm looking forward to going back into producing, which I'm going back to in January. Putting Hunty in daycare and
oh cool, what are you doing?
I don't know yet because the shows wise you're contract workers, so no one's kind of full time in TV, so you just kind of go from show to show.
Yeah.
So now that I've kind of secured daycare for him, I'm going to put the word out and I'll go back in January. Mm. And I'm also studying to be a celebrant, a wedding celebrant.
What?
Yes. Did I not tell you that?
What made you? No, you told me that, but I'm just like. For the purpose of the show.
Yeah, I am.
Acting all excited.
I am.
Let's do the, oh, you're going to be a bachelor.
You were just really convincing.
I'm an actor. Did you not know?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You got any marriages lined up?
No, not yet. I need to actually get the qualifications first. Yeah.
Well, as soon as you do, let me know.
Are you going to get married? Oh my God! You heard it here first.
Let's move on.
Mike's gonna propose.
I don't. She says she watches the show, but I think she only watches probably the first 20 minutes.
So we can talk about it.
So she wouldn't say that.
You're asking me a lot of questions. Why don't I ask you some?
Her name's Bianca Zupas, and she is in a new movie called Dead Squad, which has the world premiere in LA in a couple of weeks, and then the Australian premiere on the 2nd of December at the Sanctuary Cove International Film Festival.
Awesome. And you're going to propose there.
Maybe Sydney Kings would be a good time to do it.
Yeah, put it up on the big screen. Okay,
well, they've got their first game happening next weekend against the Adelaide 36ers. And Andrew Bogut is in the team, direct from the NBA.
That's exciting.
Which is incredible. I mean, that guy's had an amazing career, Andrew Bogut. I mean, he played in the NBA for 13 years, won an NBA championship.
13 years? How old is he?
I think it's actually 15 years. I think it was something like 15 seasons, yeah. And 253 games or something like that in the NBA.
Wow. He's impressive.
He's a dead set legend. Like, he could easily go back and play for the Cleveland Cavaliers or you know, the LA Lakers or whatever. But
he just wants a sea change.
He did. He wanted to come back to Australia. He's got a couple of kids now. And after being there for so long, I mean, he's...
Oh, is he Australian that played in the NBA and now he's coming back?
Yeah, he's literally made...
Ah.
Like, you know, he played for the Boomers and, you know, he's... Incredible.
Mm.
Incredible guy. So, you know, it's going to be so exciting to see him play his first game next weekend. And there's still tickets available. It's coming from me because I'm actually the courtside MC and I'm out there running all sorts of crazy games. And we've got some big things happening this year at the Sydney Kings. It is going to be an absolute ripper of a season. Brad Newley is back. Kevin Lish. Handel is back. Randall Handel. Some of the best players. MVPs everywhere. Get your tickets to Sydney Kings next weekend. You gonna come?
Yeah.
I think you should.
I really want to.
So you like being out of the spotlight now, don't you?
Yeah.
Because I remember back in Big Brother days, you used to hate going to out to bars or clubs and you just get harassed. I remember one time you're all dolled up, you look spectacular, we're out to have a good night and some guy just went, oh yeah, Big Brother chick, and poured a beer on your head.
No, a jug of beer.
A jug of beer.
It was a jug of beer. Was it People Can Be Mean?
Where the hell
thank
was
God
that?
Thank God social media. Fishos. Fish.
Oh, well, it had to be the freaking Gold Coast. Bogan
Oi,
Central.
Leave the Gold Coast alone.
Yeah, what did you do? What did you give him? A barrel of Gold Coast's bitch slap, or you just cried and walked off?
I cried.
What kind of an asshole would do that?
I know. No, people could be really mean. But you know what? The percentage of people were really good. Like, I feel like 90% of people were great, and 10% of people just want to do something horrible to impress their mates so that they can say that they did something horrible. This is before like Facebook and like Instagram was around too. Imagine like what, like you see what people cop now online, like all these keyboard warriors who sit at home and say horrible things, you know, just to, it's tall poppy syndrome, you know? And Australia is really, honestly, I think on a world scale, Australia has to be one of the worst for wanting to tear people down.
Yeah, totally.
And I think it's really sad. Like, we should be kind of encouraging each other and lifting people up. And I just think it's really awful.
I absolutely agree. I equate it to, you know, when I was in the States, and it rang true for me when I was living there for a while, when you'd see like a Ferrari pull up at the traffic lights and someone walk past and go, wow, nice car. But in Australia, you pull up the traffic lights and
hey,
nice car.
Dickhead. There.
Yeah, fucking wanker.
That's right. It's so
what are you
true.
Driving that for, you bloody tool?
So true.
But where
so
does that come from, do you think?
I just think it's...
Is it because we, you know, came from convicts?
Probably.
You know, sent here in the First Fleet, we're all criminals and we, you know, against the establishment?
I don't know. I honestly don't know where it comes from because...
Is it slowing down a little bit, or is it getting worse now with social media?
I think it's worse with social media.
Because
I really do.
What about all the shaming of bullies and everything like that?
Yeah, and I see how some of the contestants on the shows I work on are treated, and I'm like, I just think I wouldn't survive that now. Like, I mean... As a reality contestant.
Yeah.
But I also think, though, that people now are savvy enough to know what they're getting themselves into. Mm. And you can't go on to reality shows naive now. And you know, everyone knows what happens when you get off reality shows. You get an Instagram account. You get paid for, like, posting things about wine or, you know, like... cheese or whatever you get paid for.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I might just have a quick four pines right now. That's the first I've heard of any of that kind of product placement.
But what comes with that is an onslaught of personal attacks. And do you know, what the closest thing was that I got to this? Do you remember the forum behind Big Brother?
Yes. I remember the prick that ran it. He used to get me in so much trouble.
Oh, really?
Because,
oh, yeah, he did too.
Because I would always end up saying something on, you know, behind the scenes or to the crowd or on Big Brother Up Late. And he'd do a massive story on it. And all of the bosses of Big Brother would come tearing into my office. Or what the? Well, when I say my office, I think it was the wheelchair toilet where I'd get changed. I didn't really have an office for a long time. And all of a sudden... Everything would be my fault because some dickhead wrote something online about who was going to get evicted tomorrow or if there was a, you know, oh, there were twins in the house or something. I can't even remember what I let out of the bag, but I did it a few times.
So we never had to deal with Instagram or Facebook or anything like that when we were kind of doing Friday Night Live and it was at its peak. But the one thing, and I remember, I never used to read the forums, but my friends used to. And I remember my girlfriends getting really angry and were like so upset and were telling me when I was diagnosed with cancer because it was leaked to the press and someone on Behind Big Brother forum wrote, it's not cancer growing out of her neck that's the problem, it's the dick growing out of her head. And I thought it was really funny.
Oh my God. So
there are no limits. Like people will even take you down about your cancer.
You're facing death. And they still want to call you a dickhead.
They're still wanting to call me a dickhead. And that's literally the only time that I ever remember reading anything that was completely horrible. But I often tell like contestants on reality shows that story now because I'm like, even if you are the most loved person in the country or the most hated, there are still no limits. Like they will take you down for whatever they possibly can. And as long as you expect that, I think, which I think people are savvy enough to know now.
And people are sitting there in their lounge room and, you know, and they think there's no consequences and they don't actually see it as a real person that they're actually saying it to their face.
Absolutely
like,
not.
Like Brendan Favola, you know, the AFL player.
Yeah.
He tweeted something really mean the other day about the band that we're playing. I think they're called Gang of Youths.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't heard of them before, but after seeing them, I thought they were great. And I had to listen to some of their music, but he obviously didn't like them. And he wrote, Gang of Youths, who are these people? I don't even like their music. You know, why aren't the NRL spending money? It says something bad about them. And then all of a sudden, their message back was just gold. They said, just played our first grand final. How many have you played, Fev? You hadn't played any.
Feb is not great the smartest comeback. Tool.
No, not smart, but he wrote back, well played. Oh, but yeah, people, once you actually face them and say, what did you say? And then they're like, oh, no, you know, I was just saying.
That's
just
it. Like, these people that sit at home and sit there and, like, write horrible things to all these poor people. Like, if they were face to face, there is no way that they would have the balls to say the things that they do online.
I remember, I think it was Twitter was the first one before Facebook, was it? Or was it?
I don't know. Was
it
Facebook?
I can't remember. Anyway.
It was like 100 years ago.
Someone was trolling me when we were doing the show.
It was me.
and I got really upset. And I think, oh, why can people say mean things about my hair and my nose? And,
And he's
saying the meanest things. And it turned out, like, I knew where he lived. I found out where he lived online, so I went over there.
Stop it. You did not.
Yep. Knocked on the door because I thought,
it's not very appropriate.
I'm going to confront this guy. And he didn't have a photo of himself on there or anything like that. Answered the door, and it turns out he was 12. And his mum said he's a very naughty boy. He's not allowed to write things like that online.
Are you being serious? How did you find out where this kid lived?
It was a little kid. Oh, God, I don't know. I think he might have posted something, you know, like a thing that was happening out the front of his house in Ipswich or wherever it was. And I thought I was out there, and I thought, I'm going to go and see this. But I didn't.
Very confrontational.
But I didn't know it was a little kid. I just thought it was an adult because I was saying such horrible things. It was an adult. I say, what's your problem with me?
But this is when
like the social media thing was new.
So it was rare that someone would do that.
Yeah, but obviously it's all
paid to see that.
Gone out of control.
So did you actually meet the kid?
No, I didn't. I said, does Brian live here? He calls himself Brian Party Man 22.
So you probably thought
Party Man was a party boy.
Party Man was party kid.
Yeah. So that's quite embarrassing. Probably a story I shouldn't have shared.
But funny. But it does make you sound like a bit of a psycho. I'm not going to lie.
Maybe.
Don't write anything bad about Mike on social media or turn up at your house.
But all you got to do is just block him.
Yeah.
Hit the block button.
And delete the comments.
People get upset about that.
I don't. Or just don't worry about it and leave and go behind the scenes.
Water off a duck's back. But so you like being behind the scenes more, I guess.
I do. I mean, I really enjoy doing things like, which I rarely do, but I still do a bit of, like what we're doing for the Children's Hospital. And there's a couple of other charities that I'm involved with that I do a lot of stuff for. And MC gigs and stuff like that. But as far as like having some big desire to go back on camera, I don't. Like, I mean, if something landed in my
lap. But you're such a great talent. I mean, you're someone who can just talk underwater. And Australia loves you, Brie. I don't think you realise.
I don't think Australia knows who I am anymore. You're deluded.
Come on. Okay, if you know who Brie Amer is, make a comment in the box below. We need to pump young Brie up. I did a podcast with Tim Dormer the other day, and he was doing like a reality TV podcast. And he agrees with me. He thinks that you should be back out there hosting your own shows. Why do we have to have... I mean, I love Kerri-Ann Cannelly. She's lovely. But why do we have to drag her out again? And all these old newsreaders, you know, hosting variety shows. We need more people like you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's really nice.
So one of the other reasons I brought you here to lock you in this small room and talk to you for an hour is to apologize.
Oh, dear.
Probably some of the most embarrassing moments on television for me, I stewed on for many a year and stressed about. But then I came to the realization when I saw you the other day, they're probably the most embarrassing moments for you as well because of me.
Most of them.
Two in particular. Maybe you probably could think of them off the top of your head, but let me refresh
many
your
more
memory.
Than two.
New Year's Eve under the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
We were hosting at, I think it's called Dawes Point.
Yeah.
We were hosting
the Channel 10 New Year's Eve fireworks.
The Channel 10 New Year's Eve fireworks.
That was a highlight, I must say.
That was one of the highlights of my career.
Yeah,
such
me too.
An incredible moment.
Yeah.
To be hosting this, like, the biggest fireworks display in the world, you know, Sydney Harbour. We were just rocking it. We're having so much fun in our Ed Hardy.
I was not wearing Ed Hardy that day.
That's what I'm apologizing for.
Oh, did you wear Ed Hardy that night?
I don't know. I wore something with some weird pattern design on the front. Listen, I just want to set the record straight on the Ed Hardy before I go into the New Year's Eve story. Like, it was my first gig on national television when I first started on Big Brother. And when someone sent me a T-shirt, someone
so
who had
so excited by
no
it.
Fashion sense whatsoever. I was mainly into flannos. And someone sent me a T-shirt that had a price tag of like $350. I was going to wear that shit.
Ed Hardy, I'm
wearing a $350 t-shirt.
Ed Hardy used to sponsor me. They used to go, come into the shop and get whatever you want. And I'd be like, woo. I've got like a $1,000 Ed Hardy jacket, leather jacket. And I'm like, I use it for fancy dress. That's so funny. Like, what happened to them?
What were we thinking?
Do you know, my husband pays me out all the time. He's like, what were you doing then wearing Ed Hardy?
I had Ed Hardy hats and Ed Hardy shirts.
Same,
and
jeans. The whole bit.
It's like, I think Ed Hardy was like an old tattoo artist from the 60s, but someone just wrecked the brand by just constantly printing it on t-shirts and jackets.
With rhinestones.
But at the time, all bedazzled, we thought it was fucking awesome.
Lots of people
did. And they were wearing them all the time.
Didn't they, I hope?
We thought they did, but no one wears them anymore. But one guy didn't, even though he could have got them for free. Bitsy stuck with the flannos.
Maybe no, he didn't. That's he stuck with the MLS shirts.
MLS, that's right. Oh, because he had some shirts that when he was in the house, there was a big controversy about that as well. Because that's how he was using people to fund, on the
his
outside,
votes.
To fund the votes.
Not that he needed to.
Didn't really work for him, did it? But yeah, Ed Hardy was something I've had to deal with for many a year. I'd always be teased
you still
about.
Have a shirt somewhere, an Ed Hardy shirt.
No, they've all gone to St. Vinny's.
How disappointing!
But unfortunately, I've still got holiday snaps, which you know, oh, there's the Eiffel Tower, and I'm in an Ed Hardy shirt.
that's amazing.
Can't really show anyone that. Just guess that's just for myself. Maybe I should Photoshop all my old holiday snaps.
Just like blur them out.
The Ed Hardy out.
Anyway, what are you apologising
so
for?
Oh, anyway, so we're there at Dawes Point. I think I talked Fitzy into wearing a pink dress and dressing as Paris Hilton.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in the news the next day because it was so inappropriate.
Yeah, we were ripped over the coals for that one.
And then probably one of the stupidest things...
That's not why...
I've ever done.
That's not why he was ripped over the coals, though, for wearing a dress. It was what he said. Do you remember what he said? What
did he say?
He basically, Millsy, he insinuated Millsy was out on the harbour.
That's right, because Millsy...
He said
and
the word root on primetime TV. And that's
Paris Hilton and Millsy were seen on a balcony somewhere.
And so Paris Hilton was on the harbour watching the fireworks and he made a comment about Millsy being out on the harbour looking for a root or something like that.
Was that before or after you went on a date with Millsy and he played your CD?
Oh, my God. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was a one-off. Nothing happened, but he played you a CD.
It was a one-off. That he did.
Yeah, and so Fitzy's in his pink dress, and then all of a sudden they've said in the earpiece that you get when the director talks to you and says you got to do something, and I'm like, oh, they want me to say something. Sorry, guys, hold on. And my hearing's pretty crap anyway. I'm trying to hear through all the fireworks and drunk people jumping on your back. And they say, oh, Mike, what was it? It's 2006?
I think
2007. Okay, so, Mike, we need you to throw to the video package the highlights of 2007 and say everything's going to be great on 10 for next year. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Okay, and I think I said something along the lines of, so everyone having fun down here at Dawes Point, and you know everything's been great in 2007, and it's going to be even better on 7 next year. I mean,
did you really say on 7?
Do you not remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Because I just went all quiet, my face... You don't remember? Oh, because I shut up about it. Maybe I wish I didn't tell you now because I'll never hear the end of it.
Did the network get angry?
The network? I had so many messages from producers, from the bosses, and now David Mott, Paul Leedon. My mum sent me the best message. She said, Happy New Year, Mike. Love, Kerry Stokes.
Oh, this is all coming back to me now. It's all coming back to me. Oh, my God.
So that was pretty bad. And the other bad thing that... I have to apologize for was we're hosting a finale in 2008 and I had this amazing idea that I thought we should sing.
Oh my God, why did you do that? What song was it again?
John Farnham's Playing to Win.
This time I'm playing
If you want me, come and get me.
Oh
you know
my
that
God.
I'm playing to win this
idea?
Time.
Yeah, you do owe an apology for that.
We had an horrific. We had an executive producer, a producer on the show, Anna Scarf, who now makes the show called The Block, and I'm like, yeah, great. We've got the rights to the song. I think they paid money for it. Anyway, so I'm all pumped. I'm standing there at the end of the gangplank. The crowd goes crazy. I couldn't hear the music. And I'm like, what's going on? Do I sing
and
now?
You missed the first line.
So the crowds are screaming. John Farnham's music's playing. I get to the end, and then you guys come out and sing your bit. And I'm like, I don't even know the other words. And I think I just went, yeah, let they want to come and dance with me.
And we rehearsed it a lot.
So bad.
And you still stuffed it up. Actually, that was like, you know how I was saying that the fireworks were a career high point? That was a career low point. That and Yasmin's getting married.
That was... it took me many years to actually get over that.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I know we worked and we did other shows after that, but I still always remember that.
Yeah, actually, it makes me hot with embarrassment when I think about it. Like, it makes me like...
Yasmin's getting married. That was a ridiculous show, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
There was so much hype around that. Mm. They sell the hype so much around all these TV shows, and then all
that's
of a sudden...
What are you going to do, though? You've got to try and make people watch them, right?
I went to work on The Spartan for Channel 7. That was one of the most amazing shows that I've worked on, like the production value, and like they actually shot the show at an oil refinery in Brisbane, and I had flames everywhere, and Eddie and Hamish, they were great hosts. The crowd, we had to keep the crowd going until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Whoa,
for
that's
that show.
A hard gig.
And it was really, really tough. But the athletes that we had on these courses on the Spartan were incredible. And unfortunately, I mean, after, you know, a year of working and trying to make this show happen and recording it, like, no one watched it. It just didn't rate.
You just can't pick what people are going to watch these days. I think, especially with so many options out there, like Netflix and Stan and Amazon and Foxtel and, you know, everything else. There's so many options that you just can't guess what people are going to watch.
What's your hot show right now? What do you love on Netflix, Stan, Presto?
I'm really liking the Kelly Lane documentary.
What's
that's
that?
On ABC at the moment. Remember the Kelly Lane story? And it's about it's a real life story, like about a girl in Sydney that supposedly is the baby killer that murdered her baby. So it's kind of like a Making a Murderer style inquest into this story. And so she basically had like five babies and like aborted two of them, secretly adopted them out. She was an Australian water polo player and hid five pregnancies.
No.
In swimwear.
How?
And like her parents didn't know she'd been pregnant once, and she's like hiding these babies and they think that she killed one of them. So it's like basically these two journalists are researching
investigating this story
because she's in jail halfway through her jail term and she still claims that she's innocent. So there are two episodes out of four up on ABC iView at the moment, and I've just watched that. And that it's really... it's really engaging, but I'm also really excited about the new Channel 7 show, Pride and Prejudice, because the promos have just started for that, and it looks amazing.
What is it?
And my husband made it.
What is
it?
It
really does look amazing.
What is this show?
It does. It really, honestly.
What is it?
It's couples that are about to get married whose parents don't approve of the wedding for some reason.
Right.
So I think there's one guy that's like a real bad boy and he cheated on his partner. And so the mother of the bride hates him and like they're trying to stop the weddings. And, you know, then there's a gay couple whose father is really religious and thinks that it's a sin to kind of get married. And it's all about, I think that the emotional turmoil leading up to the day and whether or not the family actually end up supporting the weddings and turning up. Or
isn't it ridiculous in this day and age you got to worry about what your parents think of the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with? I mean, it's your decision as an adult,
but it's a lot more common than what we think it is. It really is. Yeah, like it's, I think especially living somewhere like Sydney, I feel like we live in a bubble of acceptance where we you know, we're so lucky and fortunate to be in a city like this where everything is normal. And I think once you go out of capital cities and kind of into smaller towns and things, it's maybe not as widely accepted to be different, whether that's race, sexuality, you know, anything, any sort of different. I feel like we're really lucky to be here.
It sounds like a cool show.
It's a really cool show.
When does it start?
October sometime. So we're already in October.
You're not letting out anything out of the bag, are you?
You're
allowed to say all this.
I actually don't know the date that it starts.
you know how those publicists are? Mm-hmm. They don't want anyone on social media talking about anything. Like publicists, honestly, I've worked with some complete dickheads in my time who have no idea about publicity, but they want to save everything till the last week. But there is so much going on out there. You need as much exposure as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
Like, you know Hoag's on Channel 7?
No.
Like, you know the Paul Hogan story. Yeah. So I was in that. I was playing in I was playing an American.
How funny.
And
you've got to say the rest of this sentence in an American accent.
Okay, so I was playing an American. So I was the TV host that said, like, Paul Hogan, he's the Aussie Thunder from Down Under who is selling crocodiles or whatever. I can't remember my lines, what I had to say. And anyway, the show was great. I loved it. Obviously didn't rate that well. But just I put up some photos of me going, hey, you know, everyone's got to watch this. It's great. All of a sudden, people from, you know, TV production company overseas, like, what the hell? Who is this guy? Cut him out of the show. It's disgusting that he's showing pictures from behind. It was just me. Like, it wasn't actually anyone. It was a video of me. I pretended, I put a sign on my trailer. Like, I only had a couple of little scenes. I put a sign on my trailer that everyone else was using. Just said, Mike Goldman, look, I got my own trailer here on the set of Hoax. just, you know, being my usual wanker self. Mm. And
you're always getting yourself into trouble.
But I got into trouble for that. Why are we? I'm promoting
the
show.
You always get yourself into trouble.
I was promoting the show and myself.
I feel like it's because you've got a big mouth.
Just saying. Yes, that's true. But yeah.
Mike on the mic.
You have to be careful. But the good news is now I have my own show. I can say whatever the bloody hell I want.
You cannot be held accountable
for
anything. It's
cyberspace.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you decided to come on the show. And
pleasure.
Actually, I tricked you into coming here because I said we had a meeting about
the
radiothon. And there was no meeting. It was just
there was
us.
Never any meeting.
Never. No, there. Yeah, there was, of course.
But you got me here with wine.
Yeah.
And
a wine.
Good catch up.
So you've obviously, you know, I started in reality TV on your show. And I know there's a lot of people out there that still message me. When Big Brother coming back? Do you still speak to anyone that you're on the show with? Are you still friends with anyone that you're on the show with?
Yeah.
Or any other housemates that you were on the show after you?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you
yeah.
obviously worked them as a host.
So I'm really still really close to Kat, who was on my series. And Ashley, I still speak to a fair bit. Do you remember Ashley? Little ditzy, adorable.
West Australia.
Yeah, endearing Ashley.
Oh, yeah.
She's just had a baby, actually.
No way.
You know, every single person from my series has kids now.
No.
Yeah. Oh,
my God. Crazy. Babies everywhere.
Yeah, like Wes has like twins. And anyway,
I won't go. Wes is killing it.
Killing it. So, yeah, Ashley, I still speak to. Kat, I still speak to. Crystal, I'm really good friends with C all the time when I go to the Gold Coast. Paul, I kept in contact with for a really long time. I haven't spoken to him for the last about a year, but I still consider him to be one of my good friends.
So Paul's the surfer dude from Melbourne.
From Janjuk, yeah.
And he had a bit of a...
You're not Australian, mate, that one.
He had a bit of a career on radio and
but
TV
he's back
after.
Plastering now, like he gave it
he's
up.
He's a what?
Yeah, plasterer.
He's a priest.
Plasterer.
Oh, I thought you said
plasterer. All right. And as far as other series go, Zach... Zach, who came runner-up to Alicia. Do you remember Zach?
Oh, yeah. He was the corset guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's one of my really, really close friends. Yeah, he lives in Melbourne, so I don't get to see him all that often, but we talk all the time, and I just love him. He's one of my dearest friends.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, what about Trev, the guy who won the $1 million that you should have got?
I don't think I should have necessarily got that.
I mean, he hid in a corner most of the time and you were entertaining.
He was entertaining in his own way.
Yes, he was, Trev.
Yeah.
Working a hot tomato on the Gold Coast, I believe.
Yeah, I think I heard the other day that he's running the street team or something there.
But he won $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know any game show in the world that has a prize tag.
No, he did well. I'm kind of glad I didn't win it, though, to be honest.
$1 million.
I'm actually glad I didn't win it.
Yeah, you don't want to win $1 million. It's too much to deal with.
It's to ruin your life,
it's too much, money.
Plus,
you want to win Division B or Division C, you know, because you're going to have your friends and family all hitting up the cash.
I honestly believe that if I had won, I wouldn't have done Friday Night Live. They wouldn't have put a winner on there because I just feel like people...
So are you saying that if you won $1 million, you had the choice?
I'm saying it would have taken
would
my life
Would I take
life
$1 million
on a different...
or host a show with two morons?
This is what I think. This is honestly what I think, and I've had this conversation with my husband. Mm. It would have taken my life on a very different trajectory, and I don't think I would have done Friday Night Live. I don't, because winners tend to disappear a bit, don't they? Like a Big Brother.
Yeah.
And the runners-up and then the kind of other, like even Fitzy, you know. Chrissy
Swan's a perfect example. Exactly. I mean, didn't she win a gold Logie or something?
Yeah, and it's never the winners that kind of seem to forge their way into a career, which is never what I wanted. I never went in there expecting a career out of it. It just happened.
Not like today. Anyone that goes on a reality TV show,
they went on there for a life experience, and I never expected to get anything out of it. So I don't think that my life would have gone that way. I wouldn't have done Friday Night Live. I wouldn't have stayed in the TV industry to then get an interest in producing. So then I wouldn't have this career. I wouldn't have met my husband. I wouldn't have the child that I have. You know, like, I feel like $1 million would have changed my life, and maybe not necessarily in the best possible way. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have a mortgage like I do now.
Yeah, you probably would have blown it on ice, and you would have been on the Gold Coast, and it would be great stories.
I'd be on my private jet.
Private jet. You need a few more million. That's for sure. But you know, we're all glad that you didn't win then, because we got to work together and become friends.
Wouldn't have been good friends, you know.
Exactly. So from a casting perspective, can we talk a little bit about casting? Because you did work for a few years on casting and some of the biggest shows in Australia.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it was when we made Big Brother all those years ago.
I did not make one bit of it.
We didn't make any. Well, we came up with a lot of ideas for segments. Yeah. Instead of Are You Smarter Than the Fifth Grader, Are You Smarter Than Bree Amer? We did some really crazy competitions and obviously I came up with songs to sing at the... Oh, that didn't go so well.
Don't bring that up.
Okay, we weren't producing. But working as someone on who have to go out on the street and actually find people as a casting consultant and working in casting, it's changed so much to what it was, back in the day when we had castings for Big Brother housemates, because they had like rating systems from 1 to 5, and they'd have like 30 people who work on the show, like deciding who was the best and who was the worst. And they wouldn't choose someone who they all loved who got a 5 or someone they all hated who got a 1. They want half and half.
Polarizing.
They still want polarizing people when they're looking for casting?
I guess so. It's all about a mix of people. Yeah. I mean, back then it was really different. I had to send in a VHS. Here's my tape.
That's right. You did too. Didn't you jump off a bridge in the water?
I did. God, your memory's all right too. Yeah, I had to send in a VHS, but then it was a really long process. It was like a 5-month audition process for Big Brother when I did it. And still, they're really long processes now. But I think it's really what you're looking for is dependent on the show and what they want. But of course you want people that are going to be loved, and of course you want people that aren't, and then people in the middle. Like, I just don't think there's any particular formula that everyone uses for every show. It's different for everything.
It depends on the show.
Yeah, and it also depends on like how long that show's been around. Like, you don't want the same thing every year, so then you got to look for something different the next year and something bigger and better. And you know, it just changes all the time. It's a moving beast.
So My Kitchen Rules, like, one year they might say, we want everyone to get along and be happy and we want funny people. And the next year they just want to have a big bitch fest. Is that how it works? I don't know.
No, not that specific, I don't think. And look, to be honest, like, half the time you'll cast a show and then you're surprised by the amount of bitchiness or stuff that goes on. So sometimes it's a surprise for us as well.
You ever watch any shows like Married at First Sight? Like that show is an absolute crock.
I've never watched it, actually.
Like, so basically, the way it worked is they reckon that they choose all the right people who are perfect together, and they had all the computer stats run through, like Dexter on Perfect Match, and these people are absolutely 110% meant to be together, so we're going to marry them at first sight. But I absolutely believe that was complete and utter bullshit.
Oh, surely.
They said, let's get people. This is what would have happened behind the scenes at the TV network. They would have
said, you're assuming.
This is what I reckon. Let's get people who have no compatibility whatsoever, and then after it, we could just film the car crash and we'll be winning the ratings and everything's going to be okay. Surely.
Maybe. And I don't know. I've never worked.
Doesn't that give the people grounds to sue?
I don't know. Surely not. You sign your life away before you do these shows, don't you?
You do. But, you know,
I remember my Big Brother contract was like that thick.
Like, in my Big Brother contract as well, it says you're not allowed to fraternize with housemates.
Well, you failed, didn't you? Miserably. Year after year.
But we won't talk about any housemates in particular because we might get into legal trouble. I'm talking about something else. But we might get into legal trouble. Nothing happened anyway.
That's for the Millsy comment.
Okay. But, I mean, seriously, there have been people who have sued Big Brother after being on the show.
Really?
Yes.
Damn it, I should have jumped on board that. What could I have sued them for?
Oh, well, you could have sued them for getting kicked out of the house and put back in, I suppose.
Who sued?
Upset you.
Surely no one did successfully.
I don't know. You know, Well, obviously the turkey slap happened.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, and I know that it was... I don't know exactly what happened. And, you know, Google it if you, you know, do your own research because I, you know, legally, I don't know what the payoffs were, but I know that the two guys who were involved in it were, you know, there were some legal things going on.
Them.
Because that was such an incredible moment in Australian television, the whole turkey slap, when, I mean, everyone had their take on it. And so basically it was when this girl in the house, her name was Camilla, and she was in there with these two guys and they were joking around about different sex things and they talked about a turkey slap and thought, and she actually said, "Can you turkey slap me?"
Yeah, yeah.
And he got up and he whopped his wanger out and gave her a cheeky slap across the face. And didn't think anything of it. But what happened was we had live streaming at the time on Big Brother 24/7, which is amazing because everyone knew that everything that was going out on the show was actually happening for real. So all of a sudden, all of Australia knew about this turkey slap the next day because apparently the censor button didn't work because we tried to not make it go out. And it was on A Current Affairs, on Today Tonight.
My God, it blew the Prime up. Minister. That's when the Prime Minister commented on it, hey.
The Prime Minister said, "Get that stupid show off the air."
That's right.
Yeah. But those guys were, you know, that was horrible what they went through.
I hope.
But Camilla got a breakfast TV show, a radio show out of it. What's she doing now? I don't know. I don't think she's on radio anymore, but. Wow, that was a pretty controversial moment.
I did feel sorry for those guys.
But you know what?
Like it was a witch hunt.
I think if that happened now on TV, the networks would be absolutely over the moon. They think it's the best thing ever.
Do you reckon? I feel like it would be a bigger deal now.
The Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister part.
Talking about a show.
But I feel like the world is getting a lot more PC. And so therefore, the actual turkey slap itself would be a very big deal right now. Like, especially in the age of the Harvey Weinstein and...
But there was video footage of it, the girl having a laugh and turkey slap me, and she laughed.
Yeah, but did they steal that?
She didn't
even remember if they saw.
She
that
didn't think anything
I
of
felt
it.
Like, anyway,
she didn't think it, and then all of a sudden she's called to the diary room on Big Brother, and they're like, "Oh, are you okay? What happened? And you sure?" And I could see her mind sort of going, "Hang on a minute, something's going on here.
Like she knew what was going
to
happen.
Maybe I need to milk this a little bit more."
Yeah,
I reckon she milked it.
I felt really sorry for those guys in that situation. And I know some people will be like, "Oh my God, as a woman, you should be like championing like for her." But I just, having seen the full footage of that, I always felt really sorry for them in that situation because I felt like it was very clear what was going to happen.
Mm.
And it was kind of invited.
What do you think of the whole hashtag MeToo movement and all the whole, you know...
I think it's really good.
Women...
It's time for...
Coming out and saying, "This happened to me back then and this happened to me."
Yeah, I think it's about time that happened. I think there's a lot of sexism still in the industry. I think that there's a lot of... Not that I have experienced this, but, you know, you're hearing about a lot of people in positions of power...
Mm.
In the last, you know, 10, 20 years, it really used their power to get what they want from women. And I just think...
Well, Harvey could go to jail.
Even as much as equal pay, which I think is still a big problem in Australia. And
is Harvey Weinstein gone to jail? I don't know what's...
I don't even know what the update is on that.
Hmm.
But I think it's really good. I think it's great that people feel like they can have a voice now.
Hmm.
And hopefully it's time for change. A time for change.
Hmm.
It's good.
I think it's great. I think it's, you know, empowering women to be themselves and to report, you know, idiots that say and do the wrong thing. But I think it's bringing a lot of stupid women out of the woodwork who are making shit up and taking away credibility from women who have had real things happen to them.
Do you think?
Absolutely.
But then how can you differentiate?
Exactly. So,
you just have to take them all seriously.
But what we should be scared about now is guilty until proven innocent. rather than innocent until proven guilty.
Because yeah, and the problem
all
is,
it takes, and John Jarrett's a perfect example. I mean, this guy is from Wolf Creek, right? You know who John Jarrett is. I'm actually, I think
we played poker against him.
Yeah, we played on Joker Poker, and wasn't he also a guest on Download?
Was he?
He came on the show, I think, on Download. But anyway, Joker Poker was a celebrity poker show that Bree and I were on many years ago. But so there's a whole court case going on at the moment. It's all been in the papers, so I'm not speaking out of school like I would quite often. But this woman said that something happened all these years ago. But the newspaper writes John Jarrett, and they had a photo of him at, 60 or whatever his age is, sexually assaults a 17, 18-year-old girl or whatever her age is. But that looks like he did it in this current day, and they don't actually report that he was 20 and she was 17, and saying all of a sudden everyone just like straight away this guy's guilty, you know what I mean? And what's bad?
Well, the
about
problem is that it's a trial by media. That's what the problem is.
But not just that.
But then you can't not take these allegations seriously.
Got to take them seriously.
Otherwise, what's the point?
But do they have to be so public? Maybe
that's the problem.
I think that is the problem. And when things like this happen, like Wolf Creek, for example, is a perfect example. The show was about to get made, and now 170 people are out of work.
Have they dropped it?
No, but it's on hold. So that production, and that's like millions of dollars, and that had deals overseas as well. And like 170 people who are all so excited about this show going,
I really like that show.
How many series? It's an awesome show. And just because... maybe her.
But you're assuming he's innocent.
I'm not assuming he's innocent, but I'm just saying that it's so public and it's so out there that, who knows if it's true or if it's not? But you got to stop making people guilty until proven innocent. I mean, the whole idea of having trial and people going to court is you're innocent until proven guilty. Otherwise, you will have lynch mobs walking down the street. Oh, someone said that he did this. Let's go get him.
Well, thank God we don't live in America where they like actually play the court, the hearings and all of it out on like TV.
Have you been watching the Brett Kavanaugh case at the moment, which is the High Court of the US?
I totally haven't actually.
Yeah, so basically this guy's about to have one of the highest positions of power in the US. And all of a sudden a woman's come out and said at a party when he was 16, 17, he sexually assaulted her by jumping on top of her and she had to run into the bathroom and lock the door until he went away. And so
it didn't stop Trump becoming the president. So what's the problem?
Yeah. He had like Stormy Daniels, the stripper.
He's a pig.
That came out and said that he slept with her.
Oh, no.
When he was married.
Multiple affairs and like harassed multiple women.
Well, none of that's been proven in court, but people are saying that.
What are we talking about?
Okay, that's fine. All right. Okay, that's fine. No problem. We didn't.
I thought this was
going to
be a lighthearted chat and rehashing some memories.
Well, I can edit this out. That's fine.
Oh my God! Now we're talking about sexual harassment and politics and prime ministers. No.
Why not? You're an intelligent woman, Bree. You can talk about these things.
I just don't want to.
Bree Amer, you legend. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Good luck with Hunter, Evan, your beautiful family.
Yeah, I've got a good little family going on.
All your reality TV shows and your future career in television and popping out more baby. Are you having more kids?
Don't know. Yeah. Maybe. I really like this one. So maybe. Mm. Or maybe because I really like this one as a reason to not have another one. Mm. We'll see.
And you're looking
Are you going to have babies?
Are you looking forward to Friday? Friday, it is going to be big. The Children's Hospital at Westmead Radiothon with Channel 7 and Smooth FM. We are going to be raising some money, I tell you. Actually,
I'm really excited about it.
Starts on the Thursday. But we
it's
actually
6 o'clock on the Thursday till 6 o'clock on the Friday.
Yeah, so we're starting live from 9:30 a.m. on this Friday until 5:30 p.m. when we announce the exact amount that we raised, and fingers crossed.
Yeah.
We're aiming for like
such a good
4
course.
Million would be amazing. And buying incredible equipment there for the Children's Hospital, like, the humidity cribs that they put the premature babies in. And oh my God, I can list so many things. And some of the equipment
and
there
funding
is worth
research,
millions,
which is so important because it's cutting edge research that they do there at Westmead. So I think it's really important.
Some of the best in the world. And hopefully we can raise that money and help them at the hospital do the incredible job that they do and keep doing it.
Good to see you, Micah G.
Oh, yeah. Friday Night Love, high five. Thank you so much for watching.